This is Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. It was December the 4th, 1963, so half a century ago, when the first two decrees of the Second Vatican Council were passed. The documents focused on the liturgy and on the mass media. I thought I'd bring you a programme centred around the decree on mass media, which goes by the title of Inter Mirifica, a decree which in a sense echoed Pius XII's encyclical Miranda Prorsus, dated 6 years earlier. The Pope to sign Inter Mirifica was Paul VI, and in this document he highlighted how it is the duty of pastors to instruct and guide the faithful, so that they, with the help of these same media, may further the salvation and perfection of themselves and of the entire human family. In addition, the laity especially must strive to instill a human and Christian spirit into these media, so that they may fully measure up to the great expectations of mankind and to God's design. In this feature I've prepared for you, I'll be bringing you some Vatican Radio archive recordings of the Latin words of Paul VI at the time of the passing of the decree, as well as the witness of someone who took part in the Second Vatican Council and who eventually became president of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, the late Cardinal John Patrick Foley. Also featured in this programme is Blessed John Paul II, who speaks in English. Stay tuned and get ready to listen to the voice of Paul VI to begin with, speaking first of all in English.
The date was December the 4th, 1963. The Council Fathers passed a decree focusing on the role of the Church in the field of communications, a role the Pope at the time was all too aware of. He was Pope Paul VI, and as we're about to hear, a dab hand at using radio, despite still using the royal plural.
On the radio, we, as your new Holy Father, have this pleasure for the first time. It is a source of joy and happiness for us to be able to speak to you in your own homes and schools, or wherever you are gathered to listen.
Three decades later, another pope spoke to the members and staff of a pontifical council dedicated to social communications. An establishment which may have gone back to preconciliar times in an experimental form, but one he himself had only officially established 3 years earlier. You may have guessed, he's Pope John Paul II, and he too spoke in English.
The Church's presence in the media is especially necessary in order to ensure that the gospel message is integrated into the new culture being created by modern communications.
It was 1991, and Pope John Paul was speaking to the members and staff of this pontifical council about this decree focusing on the media. Its title in Latin is Inter Mirifica. Translated into English, it has a sound filled with promise, among the wonderful things. A promise reminiscent of that role of the Church as a pioneer in communications, long before the document was ever written.
As the former president of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, Cardinal John Foley once told me,
"The Church was the first to use the print medium through the Gutenberg Bible. It was one of the pioneers in radio through Vatican Radio, established by Marconi himself."
In the tiny Vatican State, from a great radio station built by Marconi, the Pope, for the first time in 1900 years of Catholicism, has sent his voice throughout the world.
And it was one of the pioneers in the use of satellite television in transmitting papal ceremonies over the world. But in the context of the Second Vatican Council, the Council Fathers realized both the opportunities and the difficulties in communications and wanted to address both.
And this new course, spearheaded by the Council Fathers for the use of future generations, was for a fast-changing world where the use of the media was indeed beginning to take on sometimes threatening contours, as mirrored in the introduction of Inter Mirifica.
Mother Church, to be sure, recognizes that if these instruments are rightly used, they bring solid nourishment to the human race. But the Church is also aware that people can employ these gifts against the mind of the divine benefactor and abuse them to their own undoing. In fact, the Church grieves with a motherly sorrow at the damage far too often inflicted on society by the perverse use of these media.
In those days, this document seemed revolutionary. Not only did it mark the very first time that a general council of the Church addressed itself to the problem of communications, but it was also the first general mandate of the Church to the clergy and the laity on the use of the media. And as Pope John Paul, now blessed, pointed out,
offered guidelines that are of great value for society. The changes in technology and indeed in society include the fact that the media now make it possible for people everywhere to witness events as they occur. Nevertheless, the way in which events are perceived often depends on the views of those who control the flow of information and possess the technical means to broadcast it.
Immediacy and advanced technology require safeguards. And a later document, sometimes referred to as Intermirificus Child, provided these guidelines.
I think a major fruit of it was the publication of the pastoral instruction on the communications media, Communio et Progressio, Communion and Progress. And as a result of the two documents in tandem, you've had the establishment of communications, commissions, or councils on the national level throughout the world, on the continental level, and also communications offices in almost every diocese in the world.
But 50 years ago, Intermirifica itself spelt out that idea of what the media was all about in a modern and changing world for the first time in history.
Decreta quae in ax sacrosanta et universali synodo Vaticana II, legitime congregata, modo lecta sua.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.